We also bring you greetings in the name of Jesus. We're very glad to be here again. Appreciate being able to come to the church house with those of like precious faith, especially after what I had been studying. I'd like to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1. He says here in this verse, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." The title of the message, Signs and Times. Jesus also told the Pharisees, he spoke about the times, the signs, and said, "Why do you not discern the times? You know, you are asking for a sign, but the signs you have, you can't read." And so I thought I'd like to share a little bit with what some of us are going through. I would count myself as middle-aged, whatever. And I'd like to draw just a little illustration here of kind of how some things, how it looks to me as far as being able to correctly see the times that we are in. It seems to me, and I'll just do a drawing here a little bit. I hope you can bear with me. I'm not sure how this will come out. But anyway, we have we always have periods of time. And I'll just draw it across here. We know that when the earth started, we say around 6,000 years ago. Well, when Christ came, and this is not going to be in proportion, but we'll put this as when Christ came. So this is when our time started, you know, as of 2012. It's always figured from that point. Well, we come over here, and we can see here we're maybe popular. And we'll come over here to the point where, yeah, I was born. And then we have a lot of children here today, and maybe this is the time where they were king. Well, anyway, as we look at this, you know, if we have Simon here, he's looking from this point, you know, he's experienced things all the way over to here to present day. Well, for myself, you know, I'm looking from this point on over to here, and we have youth, you know, looking over to this point. We're all going this direction right here. Is that clear? Well, I'm speaking from what I see. The youth, they speak from what they see, and Pop, he's looking at what he sees. And over in this area right here, you know, we could say this is the horse and buggy days. And, you know, for me, I was born right at the time when they left the Amish and went to the Beachy Church. And, of course, the children here, there's a lot of things that we have today that they don't know any better. They don't know. And they hear Pop talk. And maybe they hear me talk about how times have changed. Well, you know, they have not experienced that time change. So sometimes it's hard for us older people to see, well, why can't they see it? Well, they haven't experienced it. We have experienced it. But I haven't experienced everything Papa's experienced. But with that, there is a lot of change in our day that is going on. And this change, you know, what Pop sees, you know, his outlook, you know, he might have seen things like this at this certain point, and then things started getting worse, and all of a sudden it just goes like this. And it's what technology has done to us people. And the youth, they're just seeing things from this point. Yeah, there's some things where they see a lot of new things are coming out, and they would like to have it. They'd like to experience, you know, that kind of thing. But for us older folks, we're a little bit more like, well, let's back off here and see, is this really the thing to do? And as I was went to see my banker this last week, and I was just wondering, you know, what all is going to happen when the fiscal cliff comes. A lot of you that don't look at the news, you might think, well, what in the world is a fiscal cliff? You know, what are you talking about? Well, it's this situation where Congress tried to come to agreement with something and couldn't. And they finally agreed on allowing the fiscal cliff to come if there is no agreement for a budget. And we know our federal government spends more money today than what they have coming in by $1 trillion a year, which is 1,000 times a billion. And 1 million, 1,000 times a million is 1 billion. And do that 1,000 times, and that's how much more our government is spending today than what they are taking in, gathering in taxes. So the Democrats, they feel like, you know, we've got to get a lot more money in, so let's tax. Taxes go way up, and then they want to give all these different things to the people, so they have a lot of programs where they're shoveling a lot of money out, passing through a lot of money. Well, the Republicans are saying, let's back off on the taxes so people feel better about doing business, and then everybody will have jobs, and then we get our taxes that way. And also to cut spending. You know, they're cutting spending. So there's two sides in our country today, and it is creating chaos in our financial markets and so on. So do we know, can we read some of these times? And I'm kind of wondering, well, what's going to happen, you know, if taxes go way up, and, you know, what that's going to do to the economy, and, you know, have business, you know, it's something, you know, you might want to be concerned about. So, and I heard another thing in the news about, some of y'all might say, yeah, his problem is reading the news. You just stay away from the news. But, you know, I don't think that's the answer. And maybe as I go on through this message, I'll tell you why. But to me, when I talk to some people, they say, no, I don't read the news. I don't take my time doing my time with any of the stuff out there. Because whenever I do, I just get depressed. Whenever I do, I get worried about things. And I've just discovered that I'm better off just not even looking at the news. Well, you know, to me, that's a little bit like putting your head in the sand so you don't see some danger coming. You know, why would a Christian filled with the love and the Spirit of Jesus Christ have to, you know, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of sound mind. So why can't we look these things in the face as they come, stay calm, and be assured of a good future with Jesus Christ? But as I walked into the bank, you know, and I'd heard this news about the situation in the U.S. going like it did for Canada, where there's only 12 banks left, and they're all big banks. And I heard that, you know, there might be only about, after 10 years, 200 banks left in the United States, while today there's 5,000. So what's going to happen with Commercial Bank, or what's going to happen with McKinsey Banking, a lot of these little banks, you know, and we have our relationships with our bankers, you know, that help us and give us counsel and advice, you know, for our spending or, you know, whatever we do. Well, what's going to happen? So I was just wondering about that. Congress had passed a law that was it's called Dodd-Frank, and it really made it a lot harder for small banks to lend money to people, you know, for whatever projects they wanted to do. So I was wondering about that. And as I walked into the bank, I did not have an appointment with him, but I saw that my banker was loose, Clint Davis, and so I asked him if he's got a little bit of time. And he said, sure, come on in. And he's always been that way to me. I really appreciate him. He goes to First Baptist Church. He's been to some of our services already when we had weddings or so on. But anyway, you know, I asked him about how the future looks to him as far as the bank and the finances and so on. And he said, well, you know, it doesn't really look all that good. But for commercial bank, he said, it really looks good. They're a family-owned bank, and he feels like they're pretty secure. You know, they're going to be here for a long time. They're not going to be bought out by anybody, you know, and he tried to, you know, talk that way. But he said the thing that really bothers him, you know, there's a lot of talk today about the fiscal cliff. But he said the thing that really bothers him in America today is the moral cliff. He said a lot of things in our country have already gone over off the moral cliff. And then he went on to say about the gay movement and different things like that he sees creeping into the churches that is destabilizing the morals in our country. And he said a lot of things are very simple. You can look at creation, and the creation is kind of like a Bible. He said even the animals know that this gay movement thing is. He said a lot of people, I mean, if they would just look at creation the way God made things, why, you know, it's pretty simple. But they are not wanting to recognize these things. And he said the instability in our country is not coming from some financial instability. It's coming from moral instability, where people don't know where they stand anymore. And so on. And it really got me to thinking. And I really, really had to, admit that it is exactly that way. But in our world today, you know, we can become so burdened with a lot of things, and we can be swayed so easily sometimes. You might think you have your thought life. Your thought life is so important today. Where are your thoughts taking you? And what is your outlook in life in spite of signs and times that are telling us that worse times are coming? How do we deal with the spirit of fear that wants to come? And I don't know how good this will show up, but this is a little bit how things can be if we're not careful. Is that clear? Everybody, can you read that? This boy here is supposedly out walking the dog, but and he's got uncontrolled thought patterns in his mind, and it is taking him on a run through a lot of other different things. And on the top, don't miss that, where it says, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. But as we look at the times that we're in, you know, are we being so affected by these things that we lose our stability and are running scared, or something else is leading us and we're not aware of it? Understand what I'm saying? So what happens when we get into that, we have a situation here with a person that is quite bogged down with various things. And I don't know whatever you have in your life now, but this is something that can be a picture of your spirit. This man is so loaded down with a lot of things that he can't even see where he's going. And he's, we talked this morning in the instruction class about the old and the new man. This is a picture of the old man. This is a picture of somebody that is so worried about things like the fiscal cliff and what's going to happen next and so on. And we can get to the point where we just can't even look at anything positive. There are some things that are happening in our world today that is really getting us to this point right here. And I like the name. Some of it is the economic trends that are going on in our country. Another one is the entertainment. And as I drew that other thing about what Pop sees and what I see and what the young people see, there is a difference in the way that we view these things. But in spite of all that, can we just stand back and somehow grasp or get the bigger picture of things? Come out away from all these other things, and I know we have to deal with them, but is there something like living in freedom and not being so concerned about the alarming things that we hear today? I heard just lately of in a public school where they did this kind of little thing. In the classroom, somebody started it up. Now, folks, let's appreciate our own schools, our own Christian day schools. But in this public school, they got the idea that we're going to see where everybody stands on this gay issue. We're going to see how these children feel about it. And it was the gay people or the gay supporters that started this. And they said, hey, everybody who is for liberty and everybody who is for accepting other people how they are and the way God made them, stand on this side of the room. If you're willing to accept your neighbor just the way God made them, or if you just can't tolerate him, you just can't stand his lifestyle, so you reject him and won't have anything to do with him. Which side are you on? And of course, you know, the one side had all the people who were willing to accept everybody the way God made them, and the other side, they're saying it's the people that are stupid, the people that are intolerant, the people that are just won't accept other people, and, you know, they're not the happy folks, and they're the bigots. They're all on that side of the room. Well, everybody wanted to go to this side, where we accept, you know, the gay movement, things like that. Can you imagine what that does to a young person's mind? And when you're bombarded with those kinds of things, and it's acted out and played in that way, you have just the opposite of freedom. You have something that looks like this. Now, we do have someone who is free here, a person. This is what we all want to strive for. Someone that is free. Someone who accepts the truth and it makes you free. And he says, take your burden to the cross and leave it there. Certainly, this is very good advice for the times that we're living in, the seasons. In that classroom, what was happening was an indoctrination was going on that was trying to sway the minds of those children. And what I see is happening so much in our world today, and listen carefully, that is attacking a guilt complex. You know, when you, in our Sunday school lesson, you know, we had about immorality in there. And when someone does something that's immoral, if that person is connected to the Spirit of God, it convicts him and he has a guilty feeling, a guilty complex. And he's supposed to have. Whenever we commit a sin, we are supposed to feel guilty. We're supposed to be so miserable that we come to God and repent and make it right. We're really sorry for what happened. That's how it's supposed to work. It's that simple. But now there is an indoctrination going on to deal with this thing where somebody can go out and really commit some sins and he just does not feel guilty at all. In fact, it was just the right thing to do. So this force and this spiritual warfare we're in, the rulers of darkness of this world, they are bringing a lot of these things about and is trying to make an attack on. It has made a huge impact on American culture, but and that's maybe not so important, but the concern is what is happening within the church today? What is happening inside your mind? As far as what's right and what's wrong. See, things have traveled a long way. And you know, we're going to have children today. They will grow up when they're adults and they won't have known anything different than the gay movement and things like that. They won't have known anything different than everybody walking around with a cell phone. They won't know any different. But for Pop, these things just came in the last little bit of time here. And for me, I went through a lot of, I never dreamed about walking around with a cell phone, but now you can turn that thing into an entertainment machine that will take you to places that you really should feel guilty about. Do you or don't you? If you don't, you've got some indoctrination that has happened in your mind that is going to take you away from God into hell in the end. The thing that we have today more than anything is the Word of God. And the Word of God, it does not lie. It is always on time. It is always truthful. It will never change. It really is a pillar that we have. Another thing I see happening in my time is how court rulings are changing. And now just yesterday, it came out in the news that the United States Supreme Court is going to be considering or making a ruling on gay marriage. And you know, we could have this feeling, well, what's going to happen to the U.S. now? What's going to happen when the U.S. Supreme Court comes out in favor of the gay movement and so on? When we talk about the gay movement, we're just talking about just plain downright immorality. That is something that is affecting our society today, when now, you know, even preachers are ordained in churches that have adopted that kind of immoral lifestyle. And it's just no longer, you know, that's just for the old folkies out there that don't believe in that kind of stuff. You know, this is the new age. This is a liberality. This is true freedom where we accept everybody just the way they are. And Clint Davis told me flatly that that is a total lie that God made anyone like. That is a total lie. He will not accept that. That is a lifestyle that comes on to somebody because they are devoid of the Lord Jesus Christ and have not been taught those things as a little child. And they have developed into those things because of women that are out of their place in the home and men who are passive and things are happening in their homes don't do anything about it, are not really being leaders in the home. That's where a lot of this other stuff comes from. So the decline of the Christian faith in America is real. But what about the decline of the Christian faith in churches? What about in our families? What about the relationships that parents have with children? See, the way it works, when you have relationships with parents and children, is you have some things here that it would be good to look at. See, when little children are growing up and they go through these different kinds of abuses here and bitterness, broken relationships, and rejections, and these are the roots down here, and it travels up through the trees, and then it manifests itself in suspicion, inferiority, social shyness, fear, lust, unforgiveness, inability to receive love, all kinds of things like that. But right down here is where it starts in the root system. So as you teach your little children, be careful. Be careful what you be careful how you relate to them. Relate to them in a godly, loving manner, but be firm and scriptural. Read them Bible stories, and you have a lot of things like that. Love is practiced and purity is taught. Then those things will come up into the tree and the fruit will be completely different. Completely different. As we go back here to Thessalonians, I understand that that was, you know, likely quite a bit of negativity there. But getting back to Thessalonians, he is saying here, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. We don't want to be so taken up with a lot of things here that we don't understand that the Lord is coming back, and are we going to be ready for that time? I'd like to turn this message around a little bit now to some real positive things that have happened. Some bright spots that we see today. You see, back when I was growing up, and I don't say this as a reflection to my parents at all, but you know, culture today is quite different than it was when I was growing up. And some things, you know, are sliding by today, and you wonder, well, why don't people see differently? But back when I was growing up, there were some things that, you know, today it almost makes me laugh about where we've come from and to where we've gone. And I'll just give this just for what it's worth. But back when we moved to Paris, Tennessee, we met Noah Wenger's boys. This is the first time that we had never seen each other. But you know, they really wondered how this Alvin Yoder and Norman Yoder, what kind of guys they were. And of course, the Wenger guys, we wondered how they were. We had heard, you know, and we were coming from Sir Trafford, Virginia to Paris, and they were coming from Pennsylvania to Paris, and here we're going to meet, you know, and these young boys, 13, 14, 15 years old, you know, how's this all going to come out? And David Wenger, he had said, he was my age, and he had often wondered in reading and history and things like that, he'd often wondered what a real Western cowboy looks like. And he said the minute that he saw Norman Yoder, he knew what a real Western cowboy looks like. He just knew. You know, back then we had these big hats and we had them straight up like this, you know, and some kind of boots on or whatever. I didn't really think about it. I never knew that anything like that went through his mind. So I was oblivious to the fact. I didn't know how I was being looked at all. It was just a way of doing things. And I, of course, didn't see anything wrong with it. I don't know if Pop did or not. I don't know. But that's just how we did in Search Draft, you know, and different things. But then when we came down here to Paris, and, you know, with time, and I'll give our parents credit for this, things slowly started to change. And now today, you know, if boys come by looking like I did back that, we would be in real trouble with the church. Or you would really be looked at as some, what in the world? Where do you come out by that outfit? So, you know, in some ways, I want to tell you that things have really changed for the better. But in all of these different things that we go through, there are some pillars that we can always hold on to. And number one that I'd like to bring out is God still reigns. God is still overall. No matter who's president, no matter who's the governor, no matter who are your church leaders, no matter, God still reigns. He is still overall. He is an unchanging God to a changing world. And if you really think about, you know, where America is headed today, off the moral cliff, or have gone, all the different things that come, if you really think about it, how is God going to teach America a lesson? Or how will he teach us people in the church a lesson without making it hard for us? How is that? Can you teach a little child something when he's done something wrong? Can you teach a little child something without it hurting him? And you can really get it there. The Bible just calls it a good old whipping or a hickory stick, whatever you may call it. That cleanses the heart from evil. So when you look at all the things that can be coming down the pipeline, you know, would you welcome God's hickory stick? Would you welcome persecution? You know, how is God going to teach us without it? And as we were looking at these times, these changing times, one thing Clint brought out was really, we're just in this little time slot here, but they've had fiscal troubles before. How many times has different countries gone off the fiscal cliff? I mean, way back in Babylon time, and you know, it has happened often, if you really think about it. But because we're living in this little time slot right here where we are, you know, things just look like we're just really getting worse, you know, right here. But if you look at all the different civilizations that have come and gone, every one of them had their own set of problems, which is very similar to what we've got today. In our Bible today, in Sunday school lesson, it talked about ineffeminate. Henry brought out what that is. It's not normal feelings. You know, it's just like this gay movement thing. They had it back in Bible times. They had it back in Lot's time. Things went from bad to worse for Sodom and Gomorrah. Went from bad to worse at the time of the flood. And God cleansed the earth. So it's really nothing new. And it's what I'm trying to for us to understand, that we don't have to get our eyes so much on a lot of different things. And I know, don't read the news because that'll make me afraid. Read the news. Just relax. God still reigns. God is still in control. And whatever happens to me is His will. God never, never in the Bible has He promised to shield you physically. You don't have that physical protection from God that is spoken out in a way that it's ironclad, and you just know when you're going to go home down the road, you will not have a wreck and your life is not snuffed out. He's going to take care of you physically. We don't have that promise. We have the promise that He will not allow anything to happen to us that is not His will. But if it's His will for your life to be snuffed out, just accept it. Just relax. We're all made of the same stuff. And we're going to end up out there, that's right. Just get it in your mind. Just get it in your head, because that's the way it is. Certainly we're not going to try to be reckless and hurry up the, you know, whatever. We don't need to do that. But let's just realize the fact that life is life. And young girls and young boys, accidents do happen. And just like that, life is gone. The big question is, were they ready to go? So even while you're alive, why is that not the big question right now? Are you ready to go? That's not such a valid question, you know, once it is a valid question once you die. But if it's valid then, it's valid right now. Right now, it's a very important, valid question. Are you ready now? Another thing is we sang Zion, hills surrounded, kept by the power of God. Even if mothers lose feeling for their children, still God does not lose that feeling. The church is still precious today. The church is still the only project that God has got on the earth. It's the only thing. It is here that people can come together and be built up in the faith, and be built up in their relationships, where love can flow from one to the other. Where is another institution, folks, where that is done? There isn't, outside the Church of Jesus Christ. God has no other program. He has the relationship we have with Him, and then we have families, and they make up churches, and those churches go out through all the world, and they reach out, and they reach out with the love of Jesus to all men. Our mission is still clear. That's another one. Let's not let all these things fog our mission. Our mission is still clear. It will, the church's mission always will be clear. What is our message? What is our witness? Another one is our focus. Where is our focus today? Where is your focus? What are your motives? The focus still should be heaven. That's something that should never change. As we live through this life, our focus is heaven. In Hebrews, you know, it talks about those people who, Abraham, he left not knowing where he was going because he sought a better country. He sought a country that was not earthly. It was made by God in heaven. That's what he looked for. So that, folks, is the answer for your troubles today. And if you're burdened down with so many things, hey, there is really some good news. God is still reigning. The church is still precious. Our mission is still clear. Our focus is still heaven. And there is one more I have, and that is that victory is certain. Victory for the people of God is certain. The way to lose out on that victory is to step away from the church, so to speak, and grow cold and indifferent and just kind of do your own thing and say, I can just listen to the messages at home or on the internet or somewhere else. No, it is in the church. The church has certain victory because its leader is the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in Peter, he says, think it not strange when these trials come on you. Found in 1 Peter chapter 4 in verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. So whatever comes in our day, it's not a strange thing. So, you know, let's get it in our minds that it says, but rejoice in so much ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. So it's kind of like looking forward to the communion that we can have with Christ. And if suffering is involved, I will gladly submit to it. You see what it is when I walked into the bank, my perspective just quite changed when I walked back out of there. It was so uplifting to me just to know that finances is such a small thing. But the morals, the thing that goes on in the mind and the morals of a man, the thing that we have within ourselves as far as what we deem as right and wrong, that is all important. Those are the things that are so important today. And in verse 19 here, this is a real answer here for our situation. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Can we just do that? You know, whatever you're burdened down with, this man that had all these huge burdens, you know, I hope you're here today knowing that that's where you were at one time, but I'm not there anymore. Today I'm a free man. I don't have to be bogged down by all these dark things that, you know, however dark it might look, because that's not the issue. The issue is something within your own heart that is causing you to focus either on the dark side or focus on your wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, what He has done for you and what He's going to continue to do on and on until you come to the end of your life. So it's the answer is just committing our souls, our spirits, just committing them to a faithful Creator. A Creator is somebody. He is God. He is the one who made you. He made your soul. He brought your spirit into this life. He He's the one that oversaw your body coming alive and growing into who you are today. So why wouldn't it make sense for us to just commit our souls to a faithful Creator? Sure it would. Who else do you want to, try to just keep everything for yourself and control everything yourself? Are you willing to just throw it all loose and just give it to God? He's the one in control of everything. That's what we preach. It's what we sing about. It's what we speak, so to speak, you know. We talk about it. But are you really willing to do it? And if we're bogged down with a lot of problems, a lot of things coming down, don't think you've done it. Wherefore let them that suffer, according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Let's kneel to pray.